Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own any of the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep also know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Hear these words from the King James Version of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. You know, Psalm 23 is known as the Shepherd's Psalm. It's perhaps the most widely known scripture in all of the Bible. We as Christians, we have read this, we have studied it, we've probably even committed this to memory, maybe even from a young age. And even people who have no knowledge of really scripture, who have really never walked through the doors of the church, quite likely know of this psalm, or at least know where the psalm comes from. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, what a great image this truly is. The Lord is our shepherd, and we as the sheep of his pasture. I mean, sheep and shepherd, they belong together. We've been created to be God's people forever, not to go our own way, not to live apart from God, not to try to find some other shepherd to invest with our life. No, we all belong to God. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. Now, this morning, what I want to do together is spend some moments exegeting Psalm 23 with you. So I want to do a little teaching. Is that all right? That's good, because that's what we're doing. I then want us to see how this passage touches our lives and the life of the church. You ready? Okay. Now, what I want you to notice here is that in Psalm 23, it can really be divided into two parts. The first part is where the psalmist reveals to us the nature of God as shepherd. And so if God is shepherd, then we are what? Yeah, very good. We are the sheep. We are the lambs. It doesn't come out and say that, but it's certainly implied, correct? We've known this since probably about age 6. Now, the second part of Psalm 23 is about God's nature is seen in verse 5 and verse 6. And that's where it's talking about God preparing a table for us. And so if someone prepares a table for you, then what is that person called? The host, right? You go to someone else's home, they're preparing the table, they are the host, right? Which makes you what? Very good, the guest. So the psalmist reveals this twofold nature of God as shepherd and as host. And then he spells out three ways in which God meets us in life. And first, we see that God meets us as the provider. In verse 1, that we are going to lack nothing, that He's going to provide green pastures. He's going to provide quiet waters, not the turbulent kind of waters, that He's going to provide safe, right paths for us. And secondly, we see that God protects us. He is the protector. In other words, the rod and the staff is going to protect us, and it's going to protect us in such a way that we're actually going to be able to lie down in those green pastures and not have to be frightened for the wolf or whatever that might come upon us, and that we'll be in that place of safety because God is our provider. And thirdly, we see that God is our sustainer, that He is going to prepare a table for us. He is going to feed us. He is going to give us that life-giving nourishment. He's a provider in that table, but He's also a sustainer in that table. He's going to anoint my head with oil. And we are going to dwell with Him, how long? Forever. He is the sustainer. All right. Now, what do we do with all of this? That God is our shepherd, He is our host, we are the sheep and guests, and He provides and He protects and He sustains us. What do we do with that? Well, I think we have to begin with is to be solidly set on the fact that the psalmist wants us to know that God is shepherd, and that not is that He is just the shepherd, but He is the shepherd. The shepherd is not the head buck, all right? The shepherd is the shepherd. He is the creator. He is the Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end. He is the giver and the sustainer of all of life. He is Lord. And what this means is that God is not one of the sheep, but He is head over all of the sheep as the shepherd. And so what this means for us is that we are not the shepherd. Although we might try to be at times, we are not the shepherd. We're just sheep, every one of us. Even though some of us might wear clerical collars or our robes, and we call some folks in the church pastor or reverend or bishop, we're just sheep. We have pastor sheep and bishop sheep, and we even have one pope sheep. But you see, we are all just sheep. And even though we're all just sheep, all of us, we have this special family bond with each other and with the shepherd. You see, shepherd and sheep, they go together, don't they? It's kind of like peanut butter and? Yeah. And it's like tents and tent makers and clay pots go with potters. Yeah. In other words, what I'm saying is that they are of one family. Okay? One family. See, that's the point of the shepherd-sheep image. And so with Psalm 23, it shows us by imagery that we all of humanity are of one fold. We are of all one family. We, you know, the white sheep and black sheep and yellow sheep and red sheep and brown sheep and big sheep and fat sheep and skinny sheep and hobo sheep and pretty sheep and found sheep and lost sheep. We are all of one family. And the one God is our shepherd. And as shepherd, He is going to protect all of His sheep. His black ones and white ones and yellow ones and His lost and found sheep. As our shepherd, He's going to provide for all of His sheep, the big ones and the little ones and the lost and found sheep. And as host, He is going to sustain all of His sheep, His skinny ones, His fat ones, His lost and found sheep. And so this is what God does as shepherd. But what about what the sheep do? What about us sheep? Well, again, what has been implied in the text? Well, we've seen that we are a family of sheep, correct? And we are also a group of sheep gathered together as fellow guests. of our host. Therefore, we sheep are to treat one another, that is, you know, all sheep, big ones and lost ones and found ones, all sheep, as family and as fellow guests. So how do we treat family? How do we treat family? Loving one another and respecting one another and having compassion with each other and understanding. And if you lived in Mayberry, that'd be great, right? But we also treat family with accountability, don't we? Sometimes tough love. Sometimes we say what needs to be said, don't we? Sometimes it's hard to break into a family. Sometimes when you get married, it might take years before you finally feel like a part of that family. And sometimes it feels like you're a part of that family before you even start, you know, just when you start dating. But it's not always like that for everyone. Families can be quirky. Families, you know, we should be mindful of that, especially in dealing with one another in the church. But all families have one thing in common. We are all born into the family, either by natural birth or by natural selection, which is called adoption. That's right. And in the case of the church, we need to understand that we have all been adopted into the family of faith. And so families can be a little quirky. And sometimes it's hard to get in. And sometimes we have to say what really needs to be said and to do what really needs to be done in order for the family to function well and to be whole and to be healthy. And this is precisely why it is so essential to see ourselves not just as family, but also as fellow guests. Because how do we treat a fellow guest? With a lot more compassion, right? Yeah, say if you're at a dinner party and your host, you're there with other sheep, and your host has invited you and other guests to spend the evening together. How do you treat one another in that dinner party? Yeah. With respect and understanding and compassion, but it's a different kind of respect and understanding than really how you treat family, isn't it? I mean, you don't treat that person sitting across from you like your Uncle Bill. Hey, Uncle Bill, how we doing? You know, we don't do that. That would be obnoxious, right? And you think about that. Well, maybe. Anyways, but you treat family guests with respect and understanding, but it's a different kind of respect and understanding compared to how we treat family. And what if someone gets a little obnoxious, you know, in your family? You're sitting there at the kitchen table, you know, and maybe your teenager sits there and makes some noises that he shouldn't be making at the kitchen table. You're probably going to call him on that, right? Yeah. But what if that person, you're at a dinner party and you're with your fellow hosts, are you going to call them on it? You're probably just going to go, Yeah. So you see, with family, we kind of have a set of unwritten rules for how we treat one another. And with fellow guests, we kind of have another set of rules where we kind of have, where maybe we're just a little bit more graceful and patient because of our host, or because of just plain etiquette. Would that be safe to say? Yeah. Okay, so the psalmist says to us that the Lord is our shepherd. And so we are his sheep and we are part of his family. And the Bible teaches this truth through in many, many places throughout Scripture that God is shepherd, but God also we understand as host. And so the Lord is our host, and so we are to be these fellow guests of one host. And some guests might have excellent dinner etiquette, and others may just be somewhere from the hills. But we are still all, she's just shaking her head. But we are still fellow guests, whether we're running the rails or whatever. Now, what's that mean for us here at Selma? What's that mean? Well, what I'd like for you to do simply is this, is take the hand of someone close to you. Go ahead, let's pause for a minute. Let's just take the hand of someone close to you. All right? Now, I want you to look them in the eyes. Okay? Now, simply go, bah. Come on. Let's hear you. All right. Now, why did I want to do that? Because it's just fun, you know? That, I wanted to see if you'd really do it. But also because we are family sheep. And so we love one another here. We respect one another, and we understand. We have this understanding. And of course, we have accountability, and we witness, and we walk together. And we're born into this family fold because of Jesus Christ. You know? And man, it is good to be in this fold. And I love my fellow sheep. Don't you? Don't you? Yeah. We're as sheep, we support one another, we're there for one another in good times and bad times, right? We are sheep that have a heart for our little lambs, those little lambs that just went down to children's worship, and those little lambs that are a little bigger than, you know, just those little ones who might be juniors or seniors or eighth graders or fourth graders, and we try to support them in every way we can with youth programs and children's programs and vacation Bible school and mission trips, but are just even giving them that one-on-one attention is so essential. But we are united here with the great shepherd. And sure, you know, there are times where we sheep might butt and bite and get a little ornery. Sheep kind of just do that. But we are still family. And we work out our issues. Amen? Right? And we respect one another's differences. And we seek to be of one purpose and one calling. Man, it is good to be a sheep of this fold. And I'm a happy little sheep. How about you? Yeah? And I'm really happy to be the pastor of the fold. And as pastor, you know that our sheep pen isn't complete, is it? It's not complete. I think all of us understand that there are other sheep who are outside our walls. And they're known as the lost sheep. And they're just waiting for us to really make enough noise, enough positive bellowing, so that they might hear and discover the way here into this fold. And some of these sheep are just so far from their fold. Man, their lives, they're in great peril, like this little sheep up here in the mountain. Some are close by. But some are in terrible places. They're being chased down and destroyed by unwise choices in their lives. Their finances might be out of control. Their relationships with others are being torn apart because of foolish choices. Their hopes and dreams are being shattered in an economy that promotes more and more stuff. And with more and more stuff comes less and less fulfillment. Man, there's like this God-sized hole in their hearts, and they're seeking to fill it with anything and everything that they can, but only God's going to fill that void. And these sheep cry out to one another. Man, they are truly lost, and they don't even know it. And yeah, they all belong to the shepherd, just as we all do. But they know not the way to the shepherd or to the family fold. And yeah, church, we can open our doors to them. We can put up our signs advertising them to come and what upcoming events that we might have. And we can even put great little sayings out here on our marquee to invite them in. But it won't work. You and I both know that. That hasn't worked for 40, 50 years. And it won't work today. And you know why? Because they are lost sheep. And lost sheep need to be led by other sheep that know the way into the fold. They can only be led into the fold by found sheep. Whenever Susan and I were first married, we lived there on the family farm. I helped take care of the farm there with her dad and helped take care of the pigs and the cows and the sheep, and we also grain farmed. And I want to tell you folks, of all the critters that were the most ornery, of all the critters that were the most ignorant, was the sheep. And it's funny, Jesus calls us sheep, doesn't it? But you know, if the sheep got out, you know, I'd have to go and try to drive them back in, which was always quite fun. You see, sheep only go back in where they get out, which means it's pretty easy to tell where the sheep got out and so where to fix the fence. And so if you take sheep that have gotten out over the fence and you drive them right past an open gate, chances are they are not going to go in that open gate. They're going to run right past that open gate, right to that spot where the fence was bad, and there they will jump in. But typically, they do not go back in the open gate. They'll go in where they hopped out. And so anyway, if you happen to have fixed the fence before you send them back into the pen, then you are really in for a lot of fun. I found that out the hard way. And you see, about the only way to get sheep back in after you fix the fence is to take two or three sheep that are already in the gate, in the pen, open up the gate, and drive those sheep out of the gate and drive them to the sheep that are out, and then turn around and drive them all back in. And hopefully, those two or three sheep that you let out of the pen will dart in, and thus the other sheep will follow them in too. But you see, it takes found sheep that are safe in the fold to go out and to lead the lost sheep outside of the pen back in through the gate where they can rejoin the fold. And church, man, that's no different than for us sheep. You know, lost sheep will rarely, if ever, enter into our gate, our door, on their own. Just because our door is open doesn't mean that they're going to come in. It takes found sheep to go out where they are and to show them the way back in through the gate. You know, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am that gate. I am the gate for the sheep." You know, church, we are a family fold of sheep, and the Lord is our shepherd, and His only Son is the only gate by which lost sheep can enter and find life. And church, I want you to hear this. Lost sheep are just lost sheep. Sometimes they are so happy to be found and they respond in kind with this great excitement and energy. And at other times, man, these sheep can be quite rude and quite obnoxious. And you see, that's where Psalm 23 is so important for us, because we're to understand the relationship as God as shepherd and we as sheep. And we're also to understand God as host. And we as fellow guests, we are just as much host, or should I say, we are just as much fellow guests as we are sheep, family sheep. We got to get that. Because you see, as family sheep, we are to be graceful to one another and compassionate and understanding within the fold, to go that extra mile like that host or like that dinner party, and you want to make sure that you care for one another and for the sake of the host, right? As fellow guests, we're even to be more graceful for the sake of the host, especially to those ornery sheep. Because listen, there are obnoxious sheep, aren't there? There are sheep out there that are just plain ornery, and our host has invited them into our fold because they too belong with us. We are of all the same sheep pen, and understand our gracious host loves them just as much as he loves us, and he doesn't want to see any of them perish. He doesn't want any of them to stay lost. And besides, lost people, lost sheep, the ones that are ornery and obnoxious or just plain rude, and they're often that way just because they're frightened, or they feel all alone, or they've had this God-sized hole in the middle of their heart for so long, and they've tried to fill it, and they've never been able to. Church, you and I are the only ones that can point lost sheep to the way that will fill that hole in their heart. You and I are the only ones that can lead them to the gate. You and I are the only ones that can help show them the way through the valley of shadows and death. You and I are the only ones that know the way to green pastures and to quiet waters. You and I have this awesome gift to give, and all it takes on our part is this willingness to go outside of our doors to those lost sheep and to invite them in to our fold where they belong. And we should always keep our eyes open, our ears attuned to those who have strayed from the fold too, and invite them back in. One of the most disheartening thing I've heard in my ministry is when I've talked to parishioners who used to be parishioners, and they said, you know, we just kind of stopped coming to church for a few weeks, and then it became a habit, and then we've just kind of stayed away for so long, and, you know. And basically what they're saying is that, you know, I left, and no one noticed. We have to notice not just lost sheep, but we also have to notice the sheep that have strayed. I want to show you a picture of the church this morning and of our demographics. And if our demographics are correct, which they are, you know, we know that at least 50% of our community is unchurched. In fact, it's the percentage of that is higher. But they're not attending anywhere. You'll look up here at the screen and you'll see the little red circle or the little yellow circle, and these little red dots appearing are homes that would be typical of the number of people who we have living in Selma who aren't at church this morning, who aren't at any church any morning. Just keep coming. That's just right here in town. That's not a mile radius. That's not a 5 mile radius either. That's just right here within our streets. You know, I want us to be a church. I want us to be a family fold that truly reaches out to our community as fellow guests and fellow sheep to those who are lost and who does not know the way to the Lord. There's so many. Jesus said, you know, the harvest is plentiful. And there it is. That's just on our streets here in town. Let that soak in. Let's be sheep. Let's be the kind of sheep that Jesus asks us to be. Family fold and also guest. Guest to our host as we reach out to those in our community and we seek to find them. I wonder if this week, if there's someone that you know that you can invite to the fold for next Sunday. You know, next Sunday we're going to have a kind of a celebration Sunday with special music and all, and that might be a good time to do this. Just kind of a non-threatening way. Why don't you come to our church and see what it's about? Leroy New is going to be here, and you've probably heard of him. In fact, he was here, you know, during the summer, the Bluebird days, and it's just going to be a fun time. And we get him, see if we can get him here. And then once we get him here, we start loving on him. Just like host and guests care and share with one another. This morning, I hope you can think of someone close to you. If you can't, well, just pull out a map of the town. Because about every other house, about every other house is not in worship this morning. And unfortunately, it's like that even in Idaho and every place else around. Let's pray. Loving Father, you call us the sheep of your fold. And Lord, we thank you to be able to be known as your sheep, that we go together with you as shepherd, like tents and tent makers, and we are of your family. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, you also call us to the table. And you call us as your host, you call us to be guests around, treating one another with respect and understanding and cutting each other some slack and being there for one another too. Lord, we thank you for this imagery that you give to us and what it means for us as your church as we seek to reach out into our community and to those places where sheep are lost, where there are some that have said they never want to come to the fold, that they never want to come to the dinner, but yet, Lord, you still call us a sheep to go out and to seek the lost and to invite those in who are obnoxious or angry and especially those who are looking. Lord, help us to be those kinds of people, to truly make a difference, to not hold in to ourselves the joy that we know of loving you and serving you and walking with you, but to share that gift with those that we know or that those whom we really, you call us to know. And Father, bring us back together this next Sunday, a little larger in number, with people who we don't know and don't recognize, with fold members that maybe have strayed, and with those who have never set foot into this place. Lord, help us to reach out with your hands and with your love and with your message. For this we ask and praise you, for it's in your name, Jesus, we ask. Amen. Go now in the strength of the one who calls us friends, the one who we know as host and as great shepherd. Go forth in his name, and may all of your life be blessed with his grace and his peace that only he gives and that he affords to us. Amen.
Amen.
Go in his peace.